the Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 10th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. For some in hurricane-ravaged southwest Florida, recovery has been relatively quick. However, as of Saturday, there were still some 69,000 reported power outages and thousands more displaced people.
Businesses are opening back up and families are slowly continuing to make their way back to their homes or what remains when they arrive. Along with power restoration, access to clean water and basic needs are still issues that state emergency managers are hoping to fix quickly. Groups such as the Florida AFL-CIO have banded together with other unions across the state to help out. Operations manager Helen Parker says they used to provide financial support, but quickly realized after one storm to the next that financials are only nice if you can use them.
So instead of giving out financial gift cards of small value, we are now transporting, we have ice, a semi-truck of ice coming down, stuff that people can use on the ground now, food, water, toiletries.
Parker says the public can still help to keep those trucks full in support of working families impacted by the storm by sending donations to actionnetwork.org. According to the governor's office, the state has provided more than 13 million meals, 47 million bottles of water, and 2.2 million gallons of fuel to those in need. As of Saturday, FloridaDisasterFund.org has raised more than $40 million to help those impacted by the storm. I'm Tramel Gomes.
October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and advocates in Iowa are especially alarmed about what comes up in a few weeks. It's a proposed gun rights amendment on the November ballot.
It's a question of whether strict scrutiny language should be added to Iowa's constitution in establishing the right to keep and bear arms. Opponents say it would make it easier to overturn common sense gun laws, including one that prohibits someone convicted of a misdemeanor domestic violence offense or who is subject to a protective order from having a firearm. Lindsay Pingle of the Iowa Coalition Against Domestic Violence says these individuals should not possess a gun.
It doesn't necessarily have to mean that the firearm even has to be used to cause harm. A person who harms might never fire that weapon at their victim, but they might use it to terrorize them.
She says that includes pointing it at the victim or threatening to kill themselves. I'm Mike Moen.
Now from CNN, Russian President Vladimir Putin will hold an operational meeting of his Security Council today, just 2 days after a massive explosion on a key strategic bridge that links Crimea and Russia. This is PNS. Congress must pass the 2023 Farm Bill before the end of the year, a measure that not only impacts farming, but also what's on our plates.
The Ohio Ecological Food and Farm Association has a vision of a future where local food nourishes communities and agricultural practices protect the environment. Christine Hughes is a member of OFA's Policy Steering Committee. She says policies promoting soil health through methods such as cover crops and diverse crop rotations will build a more resilient food system.
These kind of techniques are needed to be spread further than just the people that are doing certified organic production. And also the farmers, they can't really carry this responsibility on their own. They need policies and resources that will encourage these kind of practices.
OFA's members throughout Ohio have developed 5 key priorities for the 2023 Farm Bill. Mary Sherman reporting.
Droughts, flooding, extreme heat, and storms are among the challenges faced by farmers throughout the U.S. And a new affordable housing development is coming to Lake Placid, an area facing a workforce housing crisis in New York.
Fawn Valley, with 6 homes and 16 townhomes, comes at a time when much of the area's regular housing stock has become short-term rentals. That may benefit vacationers, but workers can't find affordable housing nearby. A 2020 report found the Lake Placid community needs over 1,500 workforce and affordable housing units. Steve Sama, with Homestead Development, Fawn Valley's builder, says this project should make a dent in the crisis.
We feel it's really important that essential workers are able to buy a house or buy a townhouse, own their own home in the place where they work. We're dedicating 4 townhouses to the school district staffing and 4 townhouses to the local hospital for their staffing as well.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Finally, Eric Tanoff lets us know a Montana district council has struck down three election laws that would have created voting barriers weeks before the midterm elections.
Two of those laws presented especially high hurdles to Native Americans in the state. That includes a law that got rid of Election Day voter registration and another that banned third-party ballot collection. Jacqueline De Leon is staff attorney with the Native American Rights Fund, which represented plaintiffs in this case. She says Judge Michael Moses found evidence that the legislature intentionally discriminated against folks who rely on Election Day registration, such as indigenous communities and students.
It's pretty disturbing that the legislature went ahead and passed these laws despite the known impacts on Native Americans.
The lawsuit was brought by Western Native Voice and tribes in Montana, including the Blackfeet Nation and Northern Cheyenne Tribe.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. Remember, and listeners supported, heard on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.